Welcome back to 321 Backlog, the podcast.
You can do it. You can do it.
It's a good one.
Three, two, one, Backlog.
Welcome back to 321 Backlog, a podcast where two guys try to change a tire on a car using only their mouse on a mission to count down their video game backlog. I'm James, and I'm joined by my good friend, Alec.
Hello.
Hey, man. Long
What's
time.
What's going on?
That was, time that was no worth speak. It was good?
It was good. It was worth it. It was worth the break. Yeah, man, we have not recorded in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a couple months for us in the background.
Yeah, well, we got a backlog of episodes.
True, that we had a little bit of delays in releases, but hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll be back on track.
Yeah. Just tell your parents it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, for sure. What are we doing today? It's been a minute for us, so we're trying to get something a little less serious.
Yeah, man. So we like to kind of sprinkle in these little backlog episodes for people. Get away from the backlog format once in a while and sprinkle in some spices into the mix. And today we kind of talked about it earlier. We're going to do the top five villains. I assume they're related to video game or other nerd shit media. Probably.
I hope so. All of mine have been at least featured in a video game.
Okay, yeah. Mine are all featured in a video game as well. All the same video game.
Love it.
Before we get too deep into that, I want to steer it back towards the tire changing thing we talked about earlier. What games have you been playing, man? Got some new ones in there that we haven't talked about in a while.
From our little break, I had a break from like literally everything except for work and children for like a good 6 weeks. And I had not been able to play really anything, but in the last about week and a half, 2 weeks, I jumped back into Vampire Survivors for a couple days, just like trying to fill time while I was sitting at the house or something. And what else was I playing? I feel like I hopped into something and I'm just not remembering what it was.
You think it was on Steam?
It might have been.
But look, sometimes you can view your good old pals on there and see what they've been up to lately.
You know, I have something for our other segment, which is Backlog Builders, and I bought some things and I tried them out for maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I bought
Grid Road. Looks like I see a Grid Road in there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I did blurring the lines to our Backlog Builders for a second. I did buy something called what was it? Because I've already refunded it because I hated it.
Grid
Road. Yeah,
yeah.
It reminded me of a game I really like, which is Mini Motorways, a really quick get in, get out kind of game. It's a little like,
ooh, I don't
survival
like this game at all.
Puzzle kind of thing. Anyway, it reminded me of that, so I thought it would be similar. I was like, let me try it out. I played it for about 10 minutes, and the controls were so simple yet confusing.
Right.
I just immediately refunded it after 10 minutes of buying it. So I did play that. I found all these are going to be about 10 minutes of gameplay. I found Bloons Tower Defense 6 that was on sale. God. It was an old phone game.
I remember,
Yeah, I played all of them on the phones, but I found one on the computer, so I was like, let me give it a try. And then something called The Escapist 2 I bought and then played for a little bit. That one looks like it's fun. It looks like it's a puzzle.
Okay.
You're like escaping from prison, so there's some puzzle aspects and things like that. But it looks like it has a little, like a very light narrative, possibly. Like there's different named characters that you can play as. So that one I'm looking forward to getting more time in. But that's about it. What about you? What have you been playing?
Elden Ring.
Oof.
Been playing that. I started over, though, so that kind of dropped my interest in that sharply. But I will be more into it. It's just such a beautiful game. And then I've put in some time into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't know, your brother actually lent it to me. So I played the first game of the remake. And I've been like dipping my tip into the second part of that.
Nice.
It's pretty good. There are so many changes to the story. It's just so awkward. And like everybody, I don't know, man. It seems like I'll just like Google to see if people hate it, and just such mixed opinions. I don't know. The first one was enjoyable, and there were a lot of changes, so I should just deal right. with it and keep playing it. It's good. It's a fun game, and it's really cool to see like a modern version of something I played 20 years ago,
right?
Ish.
Right on.
30 years ago. Shit.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah.
We're getting close.
I think it was 97.
Yeah.
Fuck. But yeah. you get any sweet games? It's actually just a little spoiler for the world here. We're recording this in the midst, in the heat, in the fucking heat of this Steam summer sale.
Yeah, so that's why my list is so large. Also, the game that I was forgetting was called Hades. I played a couple minutes of that. Yeah. I think that might be yours, but
yes,
we're recording this on July 1st. It's almost America's birthday, and yeah, so summer sale. I went bonkers. let me actually just go ahead and hop to my store page here.
While you do that, I'll tell you what I got. I did officially get a copy of Elden Ring.
Okay,
because I was borrowing that game from somebody else. Previously, that's why I started over. I got Shadow of War, which the Middle Earth Mordor whatever second game, and Celeste, which is a beloved platformer. I don't know, it's okay. I get why people like it. The mechanics are cool in it, but I don't know, it's weird. I feel like I'm liking platformers less and less now.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I'm more like in the
You've said that a few times, I think, now.
Yeah, I used to think they were like my favorite, but I think I'm enjoying like whatever Elden Ring is, whatever type of game that is. Not Souls-like necessarily, but the like action game that's like melee combat, probably.
I gotcha. On the Shadow of War, did you ever play Shadow of Mordor, the first one?
Yeah, so I never finished it, but I played it a pretty fair amount, and it was very good. I'd like to revisit them both.
I played them kind of close together. I played the hell out of Shadow of Mordor, and then when Shadow of War came out, I didn't put much time into it. Either the moment had passed, or it just felt too similar to the first one, and it just seemed like you just kept playing the same game.
Yeah.
So I think if you go into it with a large gap, Shadow of War is probably going to be perfect, and that's what I'm hoping, because I also got that recently from the summer sale.
Should I return it?
It was $2?
Really $2 or something. Yeah.
So
did you see that recently, I guess Steam put out some statistics were pulled from Steam database, and there's an estimated $19 billion of games that have never been played through Steam.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts.
Damn.
And also, I don't know if they took this into account, but I think SteamDB only shows about 10% of users. I'm wondering if they just multiplied that number by 10.
Right.
Also, it doesn't take into account that so many of the games were bought on sale, but still, $19 billion is a pretty crazy number, no matter how you look at it.
Oh, yeah. So, because of the summer sale, my list is quite large, and I also got some things.
Give me a few.
A couple weeks ago. So,
God.
Real quick, right after we finished talking about The Wolf Among Us, I bought Thief of Thieves Season 1, The Walking Dead, The Telltale Series, and Renfield. It was a bundle, so I got that whole thing. I think they're all the same type of game.
Okay.
Very curious on Thief of Thieves. That one I really want to play. And then in rapid succession, Bloons Tower Defense 6, two DLCs for Vampire Survivors. I got Tabletop Simulator, hoping for some stuff later on. Excuse me, there was a third Vampire Survivors DLC. Celeste, Shadow of War. I got Civilization 6. I thought my wife would like that one, so I went ahead and grabbed it. A couple DLCs for Two Point Campus. Very fun, okay. Worker Same. Management type game. Yeah. Disco Elysium, which
I was gonna I've ask heard about
nothing
that.
But good things, but yeah, I've never played it.
Same, yeah.
So, very curious.
I had a feeling you were going to buy that. I had a feeling, yeah.
I've got something called Humankind, which I think is another worker management type game, Sim. And then one I'm curious if you want to play at some point on like a gaming night, Chained Together.
You bought that?
I did. It was like $5. And it's like okay. One of the most popular games out right now.
I'm glad that you, yeah, because that sounded like it would be a fun game and you can play up to 4 people.
Yeah.
And I've heard it can be like, you control your friends really bad with it. I'm glad that you got that. I'll buy it right now. I really wanted to play that, but I was a little gun shy about asking you to spend money.
Before you buy it, does it do something like what's that other game? It Takes Two, where you're like a person starting the game and like a friend copy. I didn't look too far into it.
I think you need to have 4 copies of it. Okay. Because I listened to a podcast earlier and they mentioned like they feel like it would be a good idea for them to just hurry up and make a multi-pack.
Right.
To get a little bit of a discount. But yeah, no, I'll get it for $5.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. Oh, I did. while you're making a purchase in real time, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I think we were both trying to play Vampire Survivors at the same time. So I just went ahead and bought my own copy of it. That's and then funny. I got a bunch of DLCs. Yeah. So very, very look. I haven't played any of them yet. So
when you said you get the DLCs, I was wondering why you would buy DLCs for a game that was technically mine. It all makes sense to me now.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was just it was in one of our off weeks.
That's how they get you, man.
Man, well, that's great. Should we get into our prime discussion now? I got my
yeah, I'm down.
I got my physical list.
Okay, I typed mine up on a physical Word document.
I'll print it out.
Give me 5 minutes.
So we're going to go in reverse order like we did before. So we'll start with our number fives and then we'll go all the way through to our number ones. And then if we have any honorable mentions, we'll talk about those at the end. Seems to be the format we're going to follow whenever we do these top five lists. So who wants to go first?
Do you want to do it how we've done other previous segments such as this one where we do like kind of go in like 1, 2, like we I go, you go?
Oh, sure.
I show you mine. You show me yours.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that.
OK, so I guess I will go first. My first one in ranking in at number 5 is actually Smithy from Super Mario RPG.
OK,
you're looking confused. Are you? You're not familiar.
I am not familiar. Please describe.
Okay. Yes. So I picked him because in that game, it's like kind of infamous or whatever for Smithy takes over Bowser's castle and kind of forces Bowser and Mario to team up. And it, as far as I know, is the only game where they're actually on the same team. They work together and the Smithy gang is like all these bosses, but Smithy is the final one and he's taken over their castle and uses the castle as a way to get to like their realm. And they're just planning on, you know, ruining everything. And I just thought it was, you kind of start to hear about him near the end, but it's cool that they forced two enemies to team up mm-hmm. in a Mario game. I feel like you don't ever see that. And when I was a small little bastard, I just thought that was so cool.
Nice.
You get to play as Bowser, dude. He had one of his moves was he would pick Mario up and throw him, and Mario would hit him. It's cool.
Okay. Well, that could not have worked out more perfectly, because my number five is Bowser.
Who's that?
It's this like little dragon lizard thing.
It's a little turtle, man.
A little game called Mario. He sometimes appears. Bowser's been in just, it's a consistent villain through just about every Mario game from its inception, basically. And I love it. One of my earliest Mario games that I played was on the original Game Boy, you know, the 8-pound gray brick. And it was Mario World or Super Mario World?
Mario Land, I think, maybe.
Mario Land, yeah, I think that's it. And, you know, you're fighting, or not fighting, but, you know, trying to overcome Bowser a couple different times. But that was my first introduction to him. But
might have been Mario Land 2, something about rings or coins or something. Mm-hmm. And if you give me 5 to 15 minutes, I could find your copy of it.
and I love the idea of the silhouette test, and he checks all those boxes. There's a handful of these on mine that do that. Actually, one of my honorable mentions for sure. But yeah, I think he's like such an iconic villain for that series. You know, almost like what Eggman is to Sonic. Like Bowser is like the villain for Mario. So that's my number five.
Super Mario Land 2, 6 gold coins. Golden coins.
Love it.
Your copy, the label was scraped off partially.
Yes, 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 yep. It was.
And I'll show it to you one day, brother. I still got it.
Oh, all right, man.
All right, so that was your five, right?
So now we're to my number four. I'm going with, and I changed this literally as we were talking a few minutes ago, Giovanni from Pokemon.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
you know, I think originally, I don't think I believe this anymore, and I'm not going to go check it, but I think I used to think that he was Ash's dad. I don't know if that's canon. It doesn't sound right, but there was a part of my childhood where something in the old Red and Blue cartridge, like a line of dialogue or something made me think that
he was banging your mom, dude.
Yes, maybe. But yeah, I love, he's like that mysterious character in the background.
Yeah. Well, he was also the leader of Team Rocket.
Yes.
So it was really cool that he was the final gym guy, too. Mm-hmm. So you've got this buildup of him being a villain, and then it turns out he's like a major thing in the...
Right.
Yeah. So. That's good. That's a really good pick. I don't know why. I did like look up a few other people's opinions on this, and I didn't see Giovanni that I remember. So that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's... Because once they moved away from Gen 1 and Team Rocket, he became less of a figure. So it was really that first gen / animated series original, and like the first couple movies, or Mewtwo Strikes Back, I think was the only one that he was in as well. So he wasn't a super long lasting character, but nonetheless, I think he was a really good one. And I wanted to bring Pokemon up because I printed something recently that I think you would like.
Is it a Pokeball?
It's a Pokeball-themed Cubone. Or a Cubone-themed Pokeball. And it's got a little tail. It could
be either one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that tail.
Yeah. Anyway. I was going to
say... Did you print that in one print? Or was it two pieces?
No, it's like five pieces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got... Yeah, anyway. Anyway, yeah. So that was my number four, Giovanni from Pokemon. What is your number four, sir?
My number four is Baldur from God of War. I liked, dude. So he was like, he's not a big guy, but he's super intimidating. And I know that you fight him very early on in the game and you just stomp him into the earth, literally. But he comes back, and that just shows that he's kind of immortal, you're not going to actually be able to kill him under normal circumstances. So you have this always like looming feeling that he's out there once you realize he is still alive. And then, you know, it's going to come down to it. He's a scrawny dude, but he's super strong, very intimidating. Seems like a complete psychopath. He is. And yeah, I don't know. He was just a really, like, he to me embodied like a guy that you meet him as a villain very early on, and it's like nonstop. You keep getting, you know, he's going to be at the end of the game. And that game didn't switch it up, and you didn't have to fight like somebody's grandfather at the end or some random boss that came out of nowhere. Like, you knew he was going to be the boss once you found out he was still alive. Yeah. So good. Yeah, good. And good fights too. Like, every single one of them, especially, just fucking out, blows it out of the water how cinematic the first fight with him was. And the second one, but the first one is super memorable to me. So
yeah,
he was a good dude. I like that guy.
Right on.
That brings me my number three.
Yeah, that's your number three.
So this might not be too surprising. It might be on your list too. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but I went with Arthas.
Arthas. Oh, Arthas. I'm like, what I was thinking. That is a good one. I do not have any World of Warcraft bosses, which surprises even me.
I like, I like him. I like his model. Like, I feel like it's the kind of the coolest looking boss from that I can think of in Warcraft, as far as, like, again, it's someone, you know, he's going to be a final boss at some point, even before that expansion comes out. Right. So for anybody that's listening, it just doesn't bore you to death. He is like the king. Is that right? He's like the king of the Alliance.
He was the prince, I believe. Okay. the prince of Lordaeron.
Who was
meant to be king, and I think on his path to becoming king, he got corrupted and blah blah blah, and then that.
Yeah, I think he basically he got corrupted, and he kind of like knowingly accepted that he was going to become like a bad guy eventually, like accepting the crown and stuff like that.
Right.
If you're a huge Warcraft fan, come fight me, because I don't really know. I play Horde. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Only like 10,000 years of like canon lore. You'll be fine. Yeah. In the opening cinematic, it's like his father, like he was like recalling a like speech his father was giving him of like always destined to become king, but he went corrupted. He was never actually like a king of then Lordaeron, which would have been like, I believe, where like the community that was the Worgens at some point, I think, or it was Undercity. It was one of those two. So
Undercity is underneath of Lordaeron. But right. I don't know what was above it. But
yeah, so I think he was from that. So it was like what Thunderbluff was to the Horde. It wasn't the Horde or the Alliance. It was like a sub-faction of it.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me get that set straight, because I really don't know the lore of it that well. But I did play during that expansion, and I liked him a lot as a villain. It was a cool fight, and all of Northrend was great, and I felt like it was like 10 or more years in the making. Like, people that played Warcraft before it was the MMO were very familiar with what was going to happen.
Right. And that expansion up until Panda, because I don't know much after Pandaria, the Lich King expansion was the only expansion that focused on one villain as the main thing. It was his thing.
Yeah.
Burning Crusades was like the Legion that was in that land. I can't remember. The Cataclysm, it wasn't Deathwing. It was what Deathwing brought, which was the Cataclysm. So it was more of like trying to combat the event after the villain came. And Pandaria was just a new land. So it was like fighting with like the antagonist was bad emotions in Pandaria. So the Lich King was
fucking antidepressant. Yeah, move on.
The Lich King was the only one that was really focused on one guy. Yeah. And perfect villain.
Well, that's good. Thank you. I'm glad you appreciated that. You got your number three.
For my number three, it requires an impression.
Oh, God.
Scrish. we're going with the Butcher from Diablo. And I count him as a boss. He feels like a boss to me, whether it's a mini boss or whatever. I think it was great.
He was a actual boss, I think, in Diablo, the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, I want to say in Diablo 3, he was also a boss. Just a straight up, I want to say.
Right.
I know in Diablo 4, he was like a, yeah, that was the best iteration of him. That's a good one. Yeah. And he is pretty iconic to the series. Funny that you put him above the actual Lord of Terror, but.
Yeah, that is true.
But that's okay.
I love the Butcher. When we were all playing Heroes of the Storm, I wasn't good at him, but I enjoyed his mechanics and stuff as like a playable character. So I like his aesthetic. I like, you know, the whole theming around of him being like
basically. He's the embodiment of the ketogenic diet.
I like that. I like
he's
that.
He's a fat guy that just eats meat.
Oh man. So yeah, that's my number three. I just like he's like I have him on like my Google image instead of like me. It's just like a picture of the Butcher. Like it's my icon on random things. I just like it. It's just
if cool one of us plays it and you're not on with us, like you just wake up in a cold sweat and you don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, we will. I think we'll always associate you with that character too, for that exact reason.
I know.
Reason.
I love
it's
it,
good, man. It's awesome. So you go to number two now.
I go to number two now, which for me, I've only encountered this boss once, and I liked what they were going for so well that I think this is a really good villain, and it shows what games can do, and people more. Developers need to do this.
Why do I feel like I'm not going to know who it is? Oh, what?
Psycho Mantis.
Damn, really?
Yeah. I've only played it once.
Yeah.
And I liked it so much that for like a video game fight boss encounter, they're literally just the how they broke the fourth wall is so impressive for the tech they were using.
That's cool,
so it's more of a compliment to the designer and to Kojima.
Hideo Kojima.
You know, than the boss itself. So because they went in the direction they did, it amplified how you interact with Psycho Mantis so much that it's so good. It's like, it's so cool what they were able to do that it's so memorable. When I was putting this like idea together, that was one of my like first thoughts after like the initial like easy ones, Bowser, Eggman, blah blah blah. The Psycho Mantis was not far from like the first, you know, one I had thought of. So
it's pretty cool. I'm glad to hear that because I feel like you can thank me for that.
Yeah, it's I've
and it's
I've
cool always, too because I that game I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I've always been interested in Metal Gear. I just haven't had the, you know, not the opportunity, but just like the, I guess, push to actually play it. So, you know, it's like and when we recorded that episode, it's difficult for me to go back to some of these older games to play them, but I can still recognize when they have something that was really good.
I want to send you, well, it's like 2 hour long video of two guys talking about the, like narrating that game. And it's fucking hilarious because they point out so much of the stuff that we talk about as well, but they're just, I'll send it to you. It is very funny. It's worth listening to and watching some of it because they Photoshop shit in and they're very good with it. It's hilarious. You'll love it. I know you will. And our next game is Metal Gear Solid 2. No, we don't have time for that right now. But I do want to get into that one because that game, if you like the fourth wall breaks and the craziness, that game is going to knock your socks off, buddy.
There we go. There we go.
And speaking of socks, we're going to come in hot with my number two, which is Handsome Jack from Borderlands.
Oh, that's such a good one.
He's just, dude, he's that villain that you love so much because he's funny, but you understand that he absolutely has to die because by the end of the game you don't have any sympathy for him. You know he's a horrible person, but he's so somehow so likable in some ways, but so much of his charm falls apart by the end of the game. And it shifts from, like, I love listening to this guy taunting me, all of the stuff that he says, to the end of the game, like, you agree that he needs to die. Like, there's no, you don't want him to be around anymore. You know, he's just the worst. But in the beginning of the game, you just, you know, he's a bad guy, but he's funny. He's, like, charming in a lot of ways. He even, like, going back to the fact that, like, he owns the things that are canonically respawning you. So, but he makes money off of killing you over and over again, so he's okay with you reviving, even though you're on your way to sabotage him. It's just, I love that, and he's just so good, man. And the more you know about his story and how he came up, the more likable and hateable he is, because he was just a guy, you know?
Because that they really dove into that in the second one or the third one?
The second one, and also the pre-sequel.
Which I don't know if I ever played the pre-sequel.
You're fine, just skip it. It just missed the mark. The humor wasn't there. It missed the mark, in my opinion. The gameplay was really good, though, but sometimes that's not what Borderlands needs, necessarily.
The burning question I have is, who's going to play Handsome Jack in the live-action movie?
I don't know. Who do you think would who would be a good... I feel like his voice and his, like, cadence and everything would have to be really important.
John Mulaney.
Yeah, dude, maybe.
That would be good.
I can see, honestly, the voice actor for him could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of just looks like an asshole.
Oh man, I cannot wait for that dumpster fire. I want to see it, just to see how bad it is. It's going to be cringeworthy.
I think that it won't include him yet. If they do, because I feel like the characters that are in it are not. I don't know. Who cares? Probably not. Does that bring me to my number one?
That brings you to number one, sir.
And I'm shooting this off. I'm starting it out.
That's it.
Wrapping it up. Okay. So I know you didn't play this game. And there's going to be some spoilers for a game you haven't played, but I think it's going to be okay. So, Kefka, Final Fantasy VI. So, he is evil from the start. He is a clown, which is all automatically, like, villain territory for some people. But your first introduction to him, if I'm not mistaken, he poisons an entire town to kill everybody in the town, to get like a little bit of an advantage in a war. So he just like poisons the water supply for the whole town and makes everybody sick and they die. And the reason I picked him, though, I mean, that's villainous and there's nothing to like about him, the way that Handsome Jack is also somehow likable. But the reason I picked him is he succeeds. This is the big spoiler in the game. He actually just ends the world essentially halfway through the game.
Holy shit.
And then the second half of the game is like recouping and regrouping your entire party to go and have like a second try at the final battle.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So the world that you know and all the towns and everything are just ripped apart and it's just like exploded earth where there's like continents floating, just pure chaos everywhere because he succeeded and his goal was to destroy the world because he went completely crazy from being like a science experiment, essentially, to try to infuse magic into a person. But they did a bad job and he went completely insane. And his goal was, I'm going to destroy everything. And he succeeds at it for a while. But it's cool because you go into it, if you don't know that and you've never played the game, I just ruined it for you. But when you go into it and you don't know that, you think this is going to be the final battle and I'm going to win against him. And then you lose. And his final model is fucking insane. Like the final boss model. I'll try to pull it up. Yeah, here we go. This is how ridiculous it is. So when you start out this fight, this picture, you make it as large as you can, I guess, click on it. But you start out and you're fighting the bottom. And it's just you go up in the fight and each one of those is like a new phase. But I think it's supposed to represent like heaven or like hell, purgatory, and heaven, and then he's like the final ascension of himself at the very end. But it's just so fucking ridiculous and just like pure embodiment of like chaos and just how insane that boss is.
Yeah.
Like it's just out of, it's just insane, man. I feel like for me, for that type of game, I haven't seen a boss where I like was just blown away. And that's on Super Nintendo. Look how good that looks.
That is pretty nice.
Yeah. And I know. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good boss. And I just love how he got what he was set out to do. Like he destroyed the world. And no one, it was just good. Play it. And I knew all that going into it. And it still was like making my fucking head explode. And also, dude, that whole game, dude, the narrative in that game is insane. For a Super Nintendo game, the stuff that occurs in it is just crazy. You don't even see it in games now a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm sweating. Who you got for number one, dude?
All right. So, for my number one,
you're like fucking the robot for Borderlands.
No, okay. So, similar to my last pick, I think it was the feeling I got from playing it, and I'm giving props to the more of the game itself through the boss that we encountered.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where my head was at when I picked this particular individual. So it's a name we've already heard. I went with Baldur.
Oh, cool.
When we discussed God of War 2018, it was nothing but good things. And when we talked about our experience with that one, our initial fight and the ending fight with Baldur got such praise, and it just showed how well they put that whole thing together in terms of how it kind of like brought the story together and with like getting Atreus and Kratos to continue to work together. It was through Baldur.
Right.
And all the different times that we saw Baldur with the initial fight, when we went back to Hell for a brief moment, seeing him but not interacting with him, how they told his story through those interactions or more just like viewing him from afar. It was just great. Both fights, the first one and the last one, were just crazy. Epic. And we had said, I think you had said specifically, that like if this is the how they structured that initial fight was like the best way to give somebody a combat tutorial. You cannot lose, go and just figure it out, right? So, and again, that is speaking a little bit to God of War and the designers for that game, but they chose to do it with Baldur, and I think it was a great choice. He was very, though he was like visually not much to look at, his personality was very amplified, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that did I think I had said this when we played it originally, because I had restarted that game so many times with having issues and like trying to figure out which platform I wanted to play it on, because I had, you know, access to it in a couple different places. I replayed that initial Baldur fight like three or four times, and I didn't mind. Like it was
right. Yeah.
It was enjoyable every time, because it was cinematic, it was fun. I liked all the dialogue. The character of Baldur in that first fight was just, I just loved it. So I gave Baldur the number one spot. I think it's a bit of a props to the I think it was Santa Monica, but I think it was great.
And I agree, obviously. I had him higher on my list, but I do agree with you. And he, you know, some of these are interchangeable probably for me. Yeah. Kefka's number one. Smithy, yeah. Definitely Baldur could be moved around a little bit depending on my mood that week.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
Yeah. I don't want to go crazy into detail about it. Do you want me to just list them real quick? Like, I have four total.
Okay. Yeah, what you got?
So Calypso from Twisted Metal.
Ooh,
I don't remember. There's like a story that's like kind of is it the monkey's paw? Is that the thing?
I don't remember all of their wishes very well.
Me fucking either. Yeah. So yeah, I think that was it though. So Calypso grants anybody that wins the tournament any wish that they want, but he is a sadist, so he fucks with your wish. And you get it, but it's never good. I remember one guy asked, he was very old and he was like a war veteran, and he said like he wanted the body he had when he was young. So he literally gives him that body, but he has the face of a 100-something-year-old man. So like, it's not what you wanted, but it's what you're getting. Right. And he does that with everybody's wish. And that's cool. I like that. I always think of that whenever like I make a wish. That game has influenced like the way that I like, oh, it's, you know, it's 11-11, make a wish. It's influenced the way that I ask for it. Because like, you know, if you want, you ask for money, like, is a relative going to die and leave right. you money? That sucks. You don't really want that.
The one I remember was, I think it was like two twins or two brothers. They wanted to be able to fly.
Yeah.
So they just, he granted it and they jumped out the window of this, this skyscraper. And then Calypso turns around with like plane tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, love
that's
it.
The way,
love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was good. It was all done in like a comic, like voiceover, but like comic strip type of thing.
Yeah.
At least in Twisted Metal 2, which I think is the one. I also went with Lance Vance. I don't want to get into it too much, but in Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, he's your partner through the whole game, and you guys kind of come up together, and at the end of the game, he betrays you. And it's just good because I feel like in crime, that seems like a very likely to happen thing. So, and then I went with Gary from Pokemon. Because he's the first villain that you have, and he's just like all the new games, all the newer Pokemon games, like the villain is like a little, like the rival is like a cute,
it's more friendship based.
Yeah, Gary's just a little piece of shit the whole time. Yeah. He's an asshole. He's rude to his Pokemon, and he's rude to you, and then you get to beat him. But he's like always the villain all the way through the end. And then I went with Duriel from Diablo 2.
Yeah.
So he's like the big worm looking, like kind of maggoty looking thing, burrows in and out of the ground. But in, I think I mentioned this on our Diablo episode, but Diablo 2, he does very high damage. That's like what he does. I think he's the Lord of Pain or something.
Right.
Diablo 2, he stomped me into the ground when I was a kid and I did not know how to play that game. And then when we all played Diablo 4, I got to an area and Duriel came out of the ground, and my character was like top tier. I just happened to pick like the right spec and class and everything. And you remember my character was just doing really well.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw Duriel, I was so excited because I was like, I am ready to get fucking revenge on this guy. Stomp me into the ground again. And it was so that to me, he's always going to be like at least a notable villain for that reason.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have like the personality or any of the other characteristics that we want to see. It's just that story alone gave me so much personality that didn't really exist.
Love it.
So, yeah, man, what do you got, brother?
I think I also have 4. So yeah, just because I know my wife listens every now and then. Ganondorf from Zelda. I've never been a big Zelda person, but I know he's been reoccurring. So you know, there's that.
Games, 20 games, and he can't accomplish his goal. But yeah,
One that you'll be experiencing hopefully soon. For your sake, to get your money's worth. Melania from Elden Ring. Again, I haven't played it, but everybody's like, that's the, you know, crazy boss, blah, whatever.
I haven't gotten to her, but I know who she is because of how popular. Yeah, that's a good one.
We talked about, or I talked about the silhouette test, and nobody does it better than Darth Vader himself. He's been in Star Wars games, you know, from the movies, whatever. But in the times that you've encountered them in any of the games, it is intense.
Yeah,
it's like a notable moment every time
he passes the breathing test as well.
And the last one I had, which beat out, almost beat out Baldur. I was going back and forth, but I pushed him to the side because I think he had a more good than bad in him. I was going to say Thor from God of War Ragnarok. He was a boss for a moment, but then later became an ally. So that's why I took him off of the list. Those are my honorable mentions. So
I'm looking. None of my people were allies at any point either. So that's good. Yeah, I thought of him as well, especially when I was thinking about, I try to think of games that I have played specifically, or even sometimes some of the games that we've talked about on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about Thor as well, but I ultimately went with Baldur as well.
Yeah.
It's just Thor, he was a good villain, but he was also, he was kind of a good guy, I guess, in the end.
Yeah, he was trying to do good, but just got sidetracked. So
yeah. Dude, you know what? The other guy from God of War Ragnarok, the main villain, what was his name? Odin. Yeah, he could have been on that damn list too.
I thought about it. I had some Assassin's Creed villains. I had Odin on there. I had a couple that I had in the mind, but after more thought,
I almost said the Helldivers from Helldivers because they're technically villains.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh man, now it's the government of Super Earth. That's the villain.
Yeah. Well, you are part of the problem.
So let's see. We've got in descending order, my top five villains from video games: Bowser, Giovanni from Pokemon, the Butcher, Psycho Mantis, and Baldur. And then James had Smithy from Mario RPG, Baldur from God of War, Arthas, Handsome Jack from Borderlands, and ending his number one with Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. I think that's a great list.
I think it's pretty juicy. I'm surprised we didn't have more overlap, because I think on our sidekick one, we had a fair amount of overlap. So it's cool that we didn't have very much at all here.
I was close on, it's not really overlap, but same universe. I was gonna say Deathwing, but then thought better of it.
Yeah,
I after starting with the list, there's a lot more that I've thought of as we've kind of been talking.
Part two, buddy.
Yeah, part two. There you go. I wanted to do a bracket. Like let's get a bunch of villains, put them up, and say, okay, two random one comes up, who's worse, Kefka or the Butcher, right? And then we can vote or something, or have like a guest to get odd numbers, and then see who comes up on top. That's what I had envisioned when I thought of doing something with villains, but here we are. That's all right.
Ooh, we could have put the dragon from the Dragon Slayer quest in RuneScape.
There you go. Ooh, that's a good one.
It is.
Well, why don't we go ahead and bring this to a close? Where does this fall on our schedule? Do we need to release or announce, rather, an upcoming game?
I don't think so, because I feel like this is kind of an off one. Maybe it'll just be a little bonus for you filthy listeners.
Yeah. If you want to know what's coming up next, go find us on social media. We got a linktr.ee/321backlog. Find us on there. It's got a link to everything. We got merch. It's random stuff. We've got coupon codes, random stuff. Go find it. Support us there. It'd be great. We'd appreciate it. And I think that's going to be it. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening.